What's going on, y'all? And welcome to the No Look Podcast. It's a rebrand, baby. At first, I had it as No Look Marv Hook, but that was way too long for your boy. So it's the No Look Podcast, whole rebranding here in double M. It's your boy, Knees. Yeah, man, maybe I need a logo. So if you out there and you do logos or anything like that, holla at your boy. But on this channel here, you know, we're going to do a lot of hoop talk. We'll talk other sports too, but I really want to focus on basketball amongst other things. No Look. Maybe for my transitions, I get Magic Johnson. He does the hee hee. We're going to have a lot of fun. Going to have guests on here to talk hoops. Mike Nice is going to be on here a lot. And Media Day was today. Boston Celtics, as of course you guys know the news, just happened yesterday. Drew Holiday got traded to the Boston Celtics. Celtics trade away Rob Williams and Malcolm Brogdon amongst picks to bring in Drew Holiday. And we'll dive into whether that was too much of a haul. What does this lineup look like? But I want to just go over. I really want to focus on Brad Stevens. I want to talk about Brad Stevens today and his reign as the general manager. Look, I had my problems with Brad as a coach. I feel like when talent was there, he couldn't really galvanize the guys. You look at that 2018 squad with the Kyries, the Gordon Haywards, the young JB, the young JT, Terry Rozier trying to find his way. It was too much. He couldn't maximize it. I didn't like what I saw in the bubble with Brad Stevens, and then the year after, it just all came to shit pretty much. So I thought he was soft, wasn't really feeling, he didn't seem like he had the guys anymore. So I liked the move of him stepping down, or if you could say stepping up, as general manager, and he's been on a roll, man. I'm not even gonna hold you. As much as I had some distaste for what he was doing as a coach, as a GM, here's when I knew Brad Stevens was a dog, because I ain't never seen this, bro. He gets appointed as general manager, right? It's the middle of the playoffs, bro. It is the middle of the playoffs, and Brad Stevens trades away Kemba Walker. Kemba had to go. Knees deteriorated. This is a guy who was just happy to be here. Happy to be here, but his knees was done. He couldn't give you what you need to give you. But goddamn, to trade someone in the middle of the damn play, it was like the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, and Kemba was out of there. Got traded to OKC. And you bring back Al Horford. First of all, the trade for Kemba is supposed to be a salary dump. It's like, oh, you get an Al Horford who hasn't played at all in OKC. And Al Horford comes back rejuvenated and has been a big part of the Celtics' run in the past two years. Okay, so that's one move. I'm like, oh, Brad might have a little dog in him. That was kind of wild, trading someone that quick when you just got the job. Cool. Then in the middle of the season of Ime's run, he brings in Derek White. And we all knew Derek White as a nice player. He comes in that first year. He's okay. You know, you still felt like it was an upgrade for which you gave away. He was all right. He gave away a first-round pick as well. Then that second year, this past season, Derek White's your third best player on the team. So that's another A-plus for Brad Stevens. Love that move. Derek White is going to have a bigger role. He's got to play 30 minutes this season. Derek White has to play 30-plus minutes this season. That's how valuable he is to this team. Somebody talk to Joe Mazzulla. So he brings in Derek White. You go into this offseason, you find out Rob gets hurt, and you think that's just going to be like the worst news of the Celtics, that Rob is hurt, knee surgery, whatever. Then with the whole Ime Udoka situation happens, we're not going to chronicalize everything that happened with that, but it's like, damn. Did that front office handle that well? Hell no. Think the Celtics butchered the whole thing. And we've spoken about it on Double M many times, so you can see how Mike and I felt about that. But to appoint Mazzulla as the coach, That's one thing. You still, you had Damon Stoudamire there, who seemed to be the first assistant coach. Mazzulla was in the back. When you look at the coaching standard, Mazzulla was sitting behind the assistant coaches. You know what I'm saying? But Brad saw a lot of himself in Mazzulla and made him interim head coach. We were okay with that. He's the interim head coach. Celtics were balling to start off the year. Things looked great. But he hasn't faced any adversity. By the time it was getting close to All-Star, they gave him a contract, signed him long term. And I think that was a mistake, a huge mistake to just jump the gun right there and to sign Mizzou. I think that's the blemish right there on Brad Stevens. So far, great general manager skill. I thought that was kind of weird to just give Mazzulla. And then Mazzulla was getting outcoached in the playoffs. Yo, what's that saying? Deer in the headlight, whatever. He was spook, shook. And let's not talk about what Eric Spoelstra did to that boy. So now you add in some coaches. You bring in Sam Cassell. You bring the assistant coach. I'm blanking on his name currently right now, from the Milwaukee Bucks. Start bringing some real veteran coaches in there too, just in case Mazzulla starts to stray off. There's some people there to say, "Nah, we got to focus on this aspect of it." Then we talk about this offseason. Celtics fall short against the Miami Heat in disgusting fashion, by the way. And some changes need to be made. Brad comes down and says, "We're going to do whatever it takes to win a championship. We don't care about this second apron and the tax and all of that." Because the NBA changed up some rules here, and they're going to make it hard for the Celtics to get some big names. Brad Stevens said, "F all that." That's what he said. General managers can say things. First thing he does, he tries to get rid of Brogdon. And it made sense. Brogdon was, when you go into the offseason, you knew that this little three-man point guard or three-man guard rotation, they tried it out. It was cute. It looked great in the regular season, but you knew it wasn't going to last. And you knew it couldn't happen. You couldn't have Marcus Smart, Derrick White, and Brogdon going into the year again. So I thought, and I think the consensus was, damn, Brogdon's out of here. Because we're not getting rid of Smart. We're not getting rid of White, who's your third best player on the team, who damn near saved you the playoffs. So they try to get rid of Brogdon. What happens? They do the trade. Everything's handy dandy. He's about to go to Washington. We're about to get Porzingis. Oh my God, this is a home run. Nope. The league starts whispering, Brogdon might not be healthy. Brogdon might need some surgery with that elbow. And ruins the trade. X's the trade. And it's not like, oh, Brogdon was in trade rumors. Nah, that boy got traded. They sent the papers. It was about to be official, signed, sealed, and delivered. Last second, they got cold feet with the physical and such. And now things are awkward. And by the way, Porzingis, he's like, "Yo, Celtics, y'all got 24 hours before I come become a free agent. And once I become a free agent, it's free game. I want to come to you guys, Celtics. I'm committed to y'all. But if you don't get this deal done, it's wraps. Whoever gives me the bread, I'm going to." So now Brad Stevens, sweat. So what does he do? In the thick of things, in the heat, this man had the balls to trade Marcus Smart, your longest tenured player, fan favorite Marcus Smart. Now that's different. That's different. Now you're really showing me, oh, you're really trying to win. You really don't give a damn. Getting rid of Marcus Smart, you're gonna lose some defense. You're gonna have to find a way to, the fans are gonna be mad. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum gonna question it. But you're trying to win now. Bring in Porzingis. So Marcus Smart is gone. And that's how we thought this offseason was gonna go. We just thought, Porzingis was going to be the addition. Yeah, there was talks about Dame Lillard. Celtics were flirting with it. Realistically, I don't think we had a chance. Because how are you going to who? Celtics didn't have a chance with Dame. So things is calm. It's calm blood. It's calm. Till 2, 3 nights ago, as we are recording, Dame gets traded. Dame gets traded. Jrue Holiday's out the picture for the Milwaukee Bucks. He gets traded to the Blazers. And I promise you, as soon as that happened, I said, wait a minute. And it was obvious. I'm not saying, as soon as it happened, we're like, wait. So that means Jrue's available. If Jrue's available, Celtics, do whatever you can. My mind automatically goes, well, Brogdon's already pissed off due to the fact that you try to trade him. And now things are going to be weird. And I'm thinking maybe Horford. I know the Celtics love Horford. I know the Celtics love Horford. That's the first thing that came to my mind was, oh man, Horford and Brogdon for Jrue. I think the Blazers might take it. But once again, Blazers sitting pretty. They know everybody wants Jrue. So they talked to the Celtics and like, look, y'all can have Jrue Holiday, but we want Robert Williams. And if you think about hanging up, that's fine with us. There's 10 other contenders that want Jrue Holiday. So we're not going to take too long to entertain your talk, Celtics. So I think it was what? Jrue was a Blazer for what? A day and a half? Maybe 2 days max? The trade got done. Rob is out the door. Brogdon is out the door. And you get Jrue Holiday. Shout out to Brogdon. Like, Brogdon was good for the Celtics. 15 points, four assists, shot 44% from the three. Those are great, great numbers. I didn't like how he was utilized. I thought he'd be utilized a lot different with this team. I thought he'd be more of a point guard. He was more of a marksman, a shooter, which was great. You know, coming from Pacers that last year, he was shooting 31, abysmal 31% from the field. Comes to the Celtics shooting, I mean, 31 from the 3-point line. Goes to the Celtics shooting 44. Because you knew he was going to get open looks, and he knocked them down consistently till the playoffs where everything derailed. Started questioning himself. He got hurt with the elbow. And then it was just all bad from there. Rob Williams. A project that came to fruition. I feel like Celtics always draft projects. This one came to fruition. Rob Williams became a player. There was a point in time Rob Williams was unplayable because of his defense. We forget that. Rob Williams was unplayable because of his defense. You guys remember the bubble? They had to start playing Grant in the fourth quarter over Rob. Because Rob would just jump, he'd bite everything. I remember Serge Ibaka was doing to Rob Williams. So now you bring in, now Rob Williams develops. All of a sudden, he starts to understand everything. Then Ime comes in and unlocks him, unlocks Rob. You're going to put Rob on a non-shooting big, and he's just going to be the floater. And the defense was amazing. Disrupted everyone. You got the best out of Rob, you got the best out of Smart, and then the whole team collectively played amazing defense. Only thing about Rob is he can't stay healthy. And then what we saw in these playoffs is offensively, he starts to become a liability. If you're not going to throw a lob to Rob, there's not much you're getting out of him. Passed up a lot of shots in the post because he just didn't have any post game. He didn't have anything he could work with in there. He was great defensively. The second chance points, much needed from the Celtics. But I think you can make that up. I honestly think you can make that up. And the Celtics are damn near trying with all the big men they just signed. They're going to try to figure it out. So it hurts to see Rob go. But what you get in return with Jrue Holiday, man, I've been asking us to get Jrue Holiday for years. once he was a free agent with the New Orleans Pelicans, I tried. I was on Twitter. Let's get Drew. He went to the Bucks. I was pissed. I wanted a lineup with Marcus Smart and Drew Holiday. I thought that was going to be amazing. Now we got Drew Holiday with no Marcus Smart. And what I didn't know is Brad Stevens in Media Day, he comes out and was like, yo, I will go up to Danny Ainge's office every year and be like, hey, can we get Drew Holiday somehow? Brad's always been a fan. So this whole thing I'm talking about right now, this little speech on Brad Stevens, made some moves, man. I had to tip my hat off to Brad Stevens in the front office. Any team that's going all out to try to win a championship, I respect. Forget the picks. Forget the future. It's now. We saw this. I'm always going to do cross sports references, man. I'm sorry. I'm always going to do cross sports references. Look at the Rams. Look what the Rams did. For one championship, once they got Matthew Stafford, they went all in. They bought everybody. Everyone. Ramsey, Donald, Stafford, Kupp. Anyone you could think of. Ringing Wagner. Anybody. Let's go win this chip. Trade away everything. We don't care about the future. And they won. And it was worth it because you got a Super Bowl ring. The way we look at Matthew Stafford has completely changed in everyone's eyes. Let's look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Once they got Brady, what happened? They bought everything. Trade away anything. Trade away all these picks. Let's bring in some dogs. Let's win a championship. And they damn near went to the Super Bowl twice. They got one ring out of it. But here's the difference between those two teams and the Celtics. Stafford, late 30s. Brady was in his 40s. You're building a team right now where the stars are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. 26 and 27 years old. That is beautiful. Or is it 26 and 25? It could be even better than that. That is the difference. They're young, but they need to win now. The window is closing. We see this happen. Honestly, Celtics are lucky to have this extended window. They're so lucky to have this extended window. This doesn't happen in the NBA. They've been on a hunt for a championship since 2018, realistically. Yes, the Isaiah Thomas runs were great. But realistically, 2018. It is 2023. That's 5 years. Windows aren't open for 5 years usually. They start to close. And now when you put all your chips in one basket, they can shatter real quick. So I respect the organization, what they're doing. I love the moves that they're making, that they've making and that they've made. Brad's even come out and said that, hey, we still got room to make a couple more moves if need be. We'll dive in on the Celtics more on what this holiday trade means for the Celtics and such. But just wanted to talk a little bit about Brad Stevens and the moves that was made here. Next episode, I think I'm going to get Mike Nice on here. We'll dive in more on this wild off season and what to expect. All right, let's do the top 20 NBA players. I'm going to do this for the next couple of weeks before the season starts, regular season starts. Top 20 NBA players. I did this last year and it was really fun. I had a lot of fun doing research and looking up stats and rewatching players and everything like that. I'm an NBA junkie, man. I love this sport. I love breaking down players. I love talking to other people about basketball. It's my favorite thing to do. And I love rankings. I think rankings are so fun, and especially with the NBA compared to any other sport, rankings are so this divisive, and people have so many opinions. And I don't claim to say I have the best list or my ranking is right. I have my own criteria, which I'll go over, but I just think that this list is just for what happened in this past year. This is not a projection. It's not a projection of what's going to, who is going to be number one or who is going to be top 10. No, it's just where we at right now from what we've seen. That is that. So my criteria is easy. Number one, how do you impact winning in all facets of the game? Stats are cool. You can put up 30 points, but if you're not impacting winning, it's going to be tough for you to crack that top 20. There's going to be guys that are not in the top 20. There's going to be players that have better stats than guys that are not in the top 20. That's what I'm trying to say. But how do you impact winning? That's one. Number two, this is the most important one for me. How does your game translate in a playoff setting? From regular season to the playoffs, does your game translate to the playoffs? Because we know it's a whole different game. Playoffs is a whole different animal. And how do you adapt to that? Does your level of scoring raise, defensive intensity raise, rise? Yo, see, it's late. It's late. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's late for me. Does everything rise during the playoffs? Shaq always talks about how if you're scoring 20 in the regular season, you got to score 25 in the playoff. Everything's got to elevate. Does your game translate? Sometimes some players' games don't translate. Can you play a half-court game? When things are slowing down, can you play a half-court game in the playoffs? Some players can't. Obviously, longevity plays a factor. Health plays a factor. You're not healthy throughout the season. It's going to knock you down. I'm so sorry. You could be a top 10 player, but if you just only play 20 games, can I really put you there, Paul George? Kawhi? And then team success. Some guys are going to get ranked higher because they gone far, they went farther in the playoffs, or they got the championship, or they're winning 50 games a year. That's just team success is another thing I look for in my criteria. So I can give you guys a quick honorable mentions, the 25 to 21s. I'm not going to go on a deep dive on them, but honorable mentions, I got Trae Young. Trae Young, one of the most skilled players in the NBA. Got Bam Adebayo, 24. Got Spider Mitchell, 23. Jalen Brunson, 22. And 21, I'm only putting this player here because I don't, from what happened last year, he's an easily top 10, top 15 player. But what happened last year? And then the playoffs debacle. It's Ja Morant. I'm just gonna have him outside of this top 20 this year. Obviously, we know his talent. It's top 10, top 15 talent. Wishing him the best. He got this 25-game suspension coming up. Obviously, you can make the argument that I should have him in there, and that's fine too. But I decided to have him at 21 outside of the 20, top 20. Just missing too many games, hurt his team. And then just didn't have it in the playoffs. So that's the honorable mentions. Trae Young, Bam Adebayo, Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, Ja Morant. So let's get to my number 20 player. Number 20 on the list is Brandon Ingram. BI. If you know me, you know Brandon Ingram is one of my favorite players in the league today. He averaged 25, 6, and 6, but just only played 45 games. See, when you look at the wing, the tall wings in this league. There's two types, right? There's the ones that are just the go-getters, the aggressive scorers, gonna get you a bucket no matter what. And there's the other wings that are like the Jeremy Grant types that they'll do all the little things, make the right plays, solid defensively, slash. Those are the two types. Brandon Ingram's a little bit of both. He could give you a little bit of everything. What I love his game so much is he's a fantastic passer. That's the most underrated part of his game. He's a better passer than most of his peers, better passer than KD, better passer than Tatum, better passer than Kawhi, Paul George. His court vision is amazing. He can hit the spot up shooters in the corner, swing pass, bounce pass. He's got it all when it comes to the court vision. And it's beautiful to see. And then what happens if you try to come at him, give him some space? He's a three-level scorer. 42% on catch and shoot jumpers, 44% on pull-up jumpers, 49% on floaters, 62% at the rim. We all know Brandon Ingram can score. He's a shot creator. And if you try to double, he's going to pick you apart with his passing. We saw that happen with the Phoenix Suns. That playoff, not this playoffs, but the playoff prior, he went 27-6-6 on 58% shooting, made all the right reads in the pick and rolls. He's just a super versatile player. What dings him is he hasn't been healthy. Hasn't been healthy at all, which hurts. I think that he needs to attack the basket more. He doesn't go inside at all. Made 2.3 restricted makes with only 62% shooting. And guys built like him are like that. Like KD is the very same way. I think he gets to the rack more than KD. And the reason why is because they're so lanky and tall, they just shoot over everyone, so they don't attack as much. 2.3 can go up, 62% could be better, someone at his height. And overall, what brings him down is the defense. When B.I. was with the Lakers, and maybe because he had to be because he wasn't getting the ball like that, he was caring. He was committed to that defensive end, which gave you sparks like, oh, this guy can be super special. B.I. can be an all-time defensive player if he wanted to be, if he just commits to that defense. But he's prioritizing offense at the moment, and his defense has suffered from it. And as one of the leaders of the team, if your defense is suffering, that whole team's not giving its all to it. I think if he can raise his defense intensity, this team, the New Orleans Pelicans, could actually go pretty far. Obviously, health has been what's killed him, Zion. They got a nice core there with CJ and stuff. It just went downhill this past season. So that is my number 20. Number 19. This guy is controversial in more ways than one, but easily top 20. Easily. It's Kyrie Irving. Kyrie went 27-5-5. He's one of only five players to average that this past season. Yo, when he went to the Mavs, he was lights out. He was a force when he went to the Mavs. And yes, the Mavs didn't make it to the playoffs. That wasn't on Kyrie. The Mavs were 14 points per possession better with Kyrie on the floor. The guy was doing everything. And we know Kyrie, he's a perfect number two. Can't be a number one. But alongside with Luka, I think they can be really, really special. He was 1.19 points per ISO mark. That was number one in the league, meaning he is still the best ISO player in the league. 39% on catch and shoot, 46% on pull-ups, 49% on floaters, and 62% at the rim for a guard. That is Very good. I'll take that from a guard. In the playoffs is where Kyrie strives. He is the half-court assassin. He will focus on whoever his defender is and attack them. I think that's he's a perfect mix with Luka. Luka's very slow, brought in, and then you give it to Kyrie, and Kyrie will attack. Very, he's a genius. He's a genius when it comes to attacking his opponent and getting to the cup or getting to the rim or whatnot. I think this year they're going to be so much better. Mavs are going to be better. I like the additions of Holmes, Grant Williams, Seth Curry. They got the Duke boys back together. They got pieces this time. Last year they didn't really have any pieces. They got pieces with the Mavs. They're going to be straight, but Kyrie's definitely got to be number 19. Probably could be higher going into next year. They gotta get to the playoffs though this year. Mavs have expectations. They gotta be in the playoffs. I'm looking forward to seeing Luka and Kyrie together. Forget all the off-court stuff. I think he's settled in. I think he's gonna be fine. You never know with him, but I think things are gonna be smooth over there. No drama. I'm calling a no drama year for the Dallas Mavericks. We're gonna end the list right there. We're gonna do 2019. I gave you guys honorable mentions. The No Look Podcast, man. I'm going to enjoy this. I want to receive all types of feedback. Let me know what I should do, how I should continue rolling these out. Be on the lookout for more. 18, 17, 16. I'll probably do those three top 18, 17, and 16 players in the league. Gonna get Mike Nice in here to talk a little more Celtics, but everybody, be safe, be good. We'll be back here. Thank you for joining me at the No Look Podcast. Hee hee.